Hello, and welcome to the 9th episode of Creator Spotlight from The Interface. Creator Spotlight is our new series where we talk to creators about what they make and do and how they got started. Today I'm joined by Nicola Hume, who is on the video team for Auto Express, the one of the UK's leading car magazines. So welcome, Nicola. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. This is nice.
Yeah, no problem. So for people who don't know who you are, you've done quite a few bits on YouTube already. Like, I think it was Car Buyer a while ago, and then you've been on Auto Express team since March, I think, or?
Yeah, Auto Express since March. Before then it was Car Buyer. Before then it was What Car. Before then it was Stuff Magazine. Before then it was O2. Before then it was Lady Geek TV. So it's always been tech and cars for me. Yeah, I've been on YouTube for a long, long time now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. I did read a while ago that you used to be like a DJ for Heart Sussex, is it?
Yes. Yeah.
One thing I was interested when I read that is what led to the transition from being a radio DJ to reviewing cars?
It wasn't really a transition from one to the other. I was kind of doing it at the same time.
Okay.
So I've worked in radio for as long as I've just been on YouTube, you know. So I started off with doing radio. I started in hospital radio and then started doing local radio because I just loved it. I love how radio works, and I love the joy of radio and a breakfast show. So I ended up doing, Heart Breakfast. I did that about six and a half years of getting up at 3:30 in the morning, getting up and doing shows. Wow. And then shows, and then sometimes would go off and shoot with What Car, or go off and shoot with O2 and do other bits and bobs as well. So they were both kind of running parallel at the same time. It wasn't a transition from one.
I see. That makes sense. Yeah. And when you say O2, what's that doing? Is that doing videos
So O2's YouTube channel, they used to run a section called O2 Guru TV. I used to host a thing called Newsburst, which was with a co-host of mine. And it was basically, here's the latest phone news. Here's the latest phone that's out.
Really?
And it all just kind of, it was all phone tech based stuff on O2's YouTube channel.
Yeah, there seems to be there seems to be quite a few people that are into both. I don't know if they come hand in hand, tech and cars, because the website. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I mean, you look at a lot of my friends that are in sort of the same circles, like you look at like Tommy or Gadgets Boy, as you probably know him. He does both. He does tech and cars. And then you've got Rory Reed was the same, tech and cars.
I was going to mention, yeah. Yeah.
And then you've got the guys from the Gadget Show. So they're both tech and cars. Yeah. It just, I do. The two kind of end up going hand in hand in the end, yeah.
It's so for the website that this podcast is behind, The Interface, that's the one of the two main things I cover on there. It's all the tech news and all the car news as well. So it just seems to go hand in hand. So
yeah,
that's brilliant. So the one thing I was going to ask you is, so that the YouTube videos you make for Auto Express and even the publications before that, how much work goes into producing something like that? Because I was speaking to the people I spoke to so far don't have a team behind them. So it's interesting to see what they came up with. So there's a guy I spoke to who does networking videos on YouTube, for example, and he goes all about and doing things and looking at where stuff are installed. And he mentioned that a 40-minute video could take him like all day to film and then another day to edit as well. And Andrew Till said the same thing. So
it would take him a day. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a mixed bag with them. So if we just take Auto Express, for example, and Car Buyer run very, very similar, although Auto Express is a little bit more flexible. So we'll have so it's me and the Auto Express team. So we have a film team. We have like the camera crew who also help with editing and all that sort of stuff. And then we have me, and we have, so Ethan is kind of like head honcho when it comes to video things. And then you have Yusuf as well. And we all sit in a Zoom planning meeting and go, right, what cars we got coming up? What cars should we book? And everyone will throw out ideas. We've got this car. What can we do with this car? And we'll throw out some ideas and some plans. And then it will come to booking the cars, which is normally done by Yusuf. He's very good at that. And he'll go, Nick, you a car, and I go, oh, what is it? and then I get the car for like a week or so, And within that week, we have a day where we will shoot with it. Or, I mean, sometimes it can be 2 days. It depends on what we want to do with it, really. And then it all just comes down to spec sheets and planning and what we're doing. And let's make sure we get these facts across with, you know, we've got to make sure we got all the facts correct and all that kind of stuff. So then that's where you speak to the manufacturer. It all just kind of combines and everything gets shot and then sent to the film team, then the film team will edit it, and then it's all then. So I don't know if you ever heard of Slack,
but yes, we all chat over Slack.
We all chat over Slack, and then it's right, well, here's V1 of this video, what do you think? And then it will be a little thing, oh, can you tweak that, can you tweak this? So we all have to say, and then the video goes live, but it's a whole big team thing. It's not just me. There's no way I could ever take credit for everything. There's no way. As much as I would like to, it's not how it works.
Now, do you? So I read Autocar and Auto Express regularly. Do you? So to get your opinion on the car, do you in the writing team have any conversations of it? Because they publish the written reviews in the magazine and they decide on how good it is and how bad it is or whatever. Do you converse, or is it literally a separate thing?
Because sometimes we might shoot with someone's long-termer. So say there's someone that's writing for the mag. So let's say Alex Ingram, for example. Say he's got a long-term car. So he's got this car for 6 months.
Yeah.
And we'll say, well, can we also shoot with that car? Because it would be great to get a video with it. And then it will be a case of, what have you written? How do you feel about this car? What have you written about it? Da, 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 da. And we'll take lots of notes from them, of whoever's long-termer it is, if we're shooting with that. And yeah, we take their advice, but then also when it comes down to the day, if I don't necessarily agree with that, or if I feel different, or if it suits me better, or if it suits them better, we'll always make sure that we mention it. So a lot of stuff in the videos is my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes someone might like something and I'm not too keen on it, but basically we'll just make sure that we mention that kind of thing. Like, it's not for me. You know, my colleagues quite like it, you know, that kind of thing. So we always do chat with the writing team as well, to kind of, because it's nice if we're all on the same level, because you got then you've got the YouTube channel. It would be weird if everything was all completely different.
Yeah, it must be. So I've watched some reviews from other people of like cars that have just been launched, for example, like the Aura Cat that came out. And I noticed that people they didn't seem to have that long with it. So they went to the launch and then they had the car for a few hours or whatever. And it's interesting to me how people come up with what to say when they've not had that car for that long. It's quite interesting. So,
well, that's it. Someone from Auto Express would have gone out and you know, driven that car, had their opinions on it. But then when it comes to like a full review video, it's always better if we can have that car just a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And then we've all learned to live with it. We know what it's like on a day-to-day basis. And then we can be completely honest about how we feel about that car, rather than just, I've only driven it for a couple of hours. But boys, sorry about my dogs. Stop it. One of them's having a go at the other one because he's jealous of his treat, basically.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's not much... Yeah, a lot of people watch car videos and stuff, and I don't know, like Top Gear and that sort of thing. But there's never really much like information about how it works behind the scenes. It's quite interesting to find out. So,
yeah, well, it's quite cool, because I mean, I'm not complaining. I've got like the best job in the world. I really do. Like every week. Shush! I'm not having barking while I'm talking, please. I'm not having that. Stop it. Thank you. I literally get. You know, I get cars booked in, so I know what I've got all the way up until Christmas, even after Christmas now, because everything's all pretty much booked in. Give me a second. Okay. Let me sort these two out. So I know what cars I've got coming up over the next few weeks, and it's literally a case of, I will get a call from that manufacturer and they'll go, Nicola, we're an hour away. And I go, that's nice. And then the car arrives in my drive.
Yeah.
And then I get, and I do genuinely live and I use the cars as my own car. You know, I take them to Tesco's and I take them to the gym and I put the dogs in them and I do all that. And I use them as my day-to-day car. And I even went Tesco shopping in a catering recently.
I did see, yeah.
In the rain, the dark. Really good idea. But, you know, you've got to do it. So, and then, you know, a week later, someone comes and picks it up, and then another one arrives. You're like, okay, great. I basically don't even drive my own car, which is nice.
Yeah. So in...
No, it's not. Now my new car has just arrived.
So in the space of that week, you've got that car. At some point in the middle, you'll do a video for Auto Express. Yeah. Okay. Oh, awesome. So what?
Yeah.
So what car have you just had? Is that a test car? Is that an actual car that you've got? Or
so what I've got at the moment is my own car, which is my Kia Sportage, which arrived last week, which is all very exciting.
Nice.
Because I ordered that back in February, and I'll tell you what caused that. I had one of them for car buyer, had it for the week, and fell in love with it.
Ah, I see.
And then I went to my next car, sorted. And then the moment that I moved over to Auto Express, I went, wouldn't it be nice to do a video on why I bought a Sportage? And that was a really nice excuse for me to have another one for a week. So I had another, and it kind of confirmed that I made the right decision. So I've got that. And then at the moment, I've got a Suzuki Ignis.
Oh, yeah.
Which we filmed with yesterday.
Very nice.
So, yeah, it was yesterday. So, yeah, and that gets picked up. What day is it today? Thursday. Gets picked up Monday. So I've got it for the weekend.
Nice. Do you get many electric cars at all?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I've moved house now, so I am in a position to be able to get home charging, which is one thing that I'm trying to work on at the minute, so I can get home charging. But normally, without home charging, and where I live, so I live in West Sussex, and the charging network around here is shocking.
All right.
It's really, really bad. So sometimes I'm given an EV and it fills me with dread. But it depends on the car. Next week I've got an ID Buzz coming, which I'm really excited about.
Very nice.
But I'm panicking about the charging situation. Yeah. So I'm going to have to try and somewhere far away to charge it and then drive it to my house where it's going to run out of charge by the time it gets back to my house. We'll see.
Is that the cargo version? Is that just the people version?
I believe it's the people version. Okay. I haven't had the full spreadsheet through yet, but that arrives on Monday, so I'm going to be looking through all of that tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a car that's definitely a lot of hype around that one.
Yes.
As soon as that one was revealed.
And I haven't seen it on the roads yet, no. So I'm excited to properly see it on the roads. Like, people have done sort of the test shoots and all that kind of thing with it, but I haven't seen one out and about in the wild.
No, I've not seen one either. So yeah, it'd be quite interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, so out of all the EVs you've driven, so if you had to move, let's say tomorrow, to an electric car, which one would you pick?
That'd be a BMW i4 M50.
Oh, okay.
Done. Not to think about it. That was, I mean, I love BMW anyway. You've got the class of BMW, you've got the quality of BMW. And it's not too, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not too EV-y.
I noticed, yeah. Yeah.
Mm, it's like a normal combustion engine car. It just happens to be electric. But the thing is there are some really awesome EV, like the Kia EV6, I love. Love, 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 love. But would I prefer an i4? Yeah, I probably would, actually. Oh, I'd take both of them. Yeah, that would be, yeah. i4 M50.
Yeah, I've seen a few on the roads, and it's, you have to just look twice, because the only thing that you see that's an EV is the green thing on the number plate. That's the only thing that really, that at a glance, when it goes around a roundabout, that you can tell, which is, some people want that, so they want sort of to blend in.
Although that green number plate on cars that are definitely not EVs, of people being pretty dodgy.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure why. If that's, I don't think it's going to, I wouldn't imagine it would do anything for the camera system in London, for example. Because
no, it doesn't. They're already reading your number plate. Well, I've got to open the door now for them to go in the garden. God, they've been what pains today. We have we have bells that are on the back door, and they ring the bells if they want to go out in the garden. Very clever boys. We're trying to go as long as possible without putting the heating on. But so far, we're not lasting very well. So I'm wearing, I've got my dressing gown around my waist. Because it's absolutely blooming freezing in this house. But maybe the heating might have to come on at some point because it's very cold. But you're casually sat there in a t-shirt. You must have your heating on.
I have, yeah. Yeah, I've got the heating on. But yeah.
Nice.
So Yeah, it's a bit weird, like with the green thing on the number plate. It must be just like a status thing. I really, dealers are confused at which cars can take it. Because you imagine if you've got a plug-in hybrid and someone's not quite clued up, oh, they could think, oh, it must have a charging port. It must be electric or something. But it's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It must be whoever doing the handover in the dealership is obviously just seeing it. So, I don't know, a bit weird. But yeah. But yeah. While we're on the subject of EVs, what do you think about the car? I asked last guest, Andrew, an EV specialist, what do you think about the car tax on electric vehicles that's coming in a few years?
It's a tough one, this. But I do feel like we were always heading that way anyway, because it can't be tax-free for all EVs, like for eternity, because no one's ever going to pay car tax eventually when everything goes EV. It's going to go completely 100% EV, but I think for those that managed to get in there while they could and, you know, got all of the government schemes and all that sort of stuff, then good for them. But it would just be way too many cars on the road causing too much, I guess, damage to the roads, which is where your car tax would normally go to. So, I can't fully disagree with it. I think it's something that needs to be done to pay for the roads, etc. Yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah, one thing I didn't realize. So with petrol cars, obviously it's based on how much CO2 the car pumps out. But electric cars, because there's no CO2, it's based on how much the car is, which I didn't realize.
Of which EVs are not cheap.
No, so like if someone buys a VW e-up, for example, they're paying 20 grand. But if someone goes out and buys a Volvo EX90, they're paying 100 grand. So you're going to charge them more tax, which is, I'm not sure if that's a good idea, really. But
they're trying to work. See. I don't know what the government aren't quite completely on top of anything. You know, they're very much like go EVs and then they don't offer charging networks.
Yeah, it's a weird one. So but yeah, we'll just get back to the filming stuff of Auto Express and just car videos. So how long would if you filmed a video like on Tuesday this week, how long would that vetting process take? So would that take a few weeks or I'd imagine probably.
What, ahead of it going on the channel?
Yeah.
It depends on the car and how urgent it needs to be released, really. I mean, we've got videos that we shot back in summer that still haven't been released yet because other cars come out and they get given priority or embargoes, you know, get lifted and then you have to release that car and all that kind of thing. So it really comes, it just comes down to the edit and when we think it's ready to be released. I mean, it is totally possible to shoot a video and then have it live by the end of the week. It's totally possible.
Yeah.
It all comes down to the car, really. So like say when we shot with the Rolls-Royce Spectre, that was a studio shoot and that could have been edited like that, but that had to be released at a certain time because of the embargo, etc. And then we had it was really hot. Was I in shorts? I was probably in shorts. And we shot a Suzuki Jimny and that hasn't even gone out yet. Because there's been other cars that have been coming out that have obviously just been bumped up the list.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's still waiting to come out. I actually can't wait to see that one. That I don't even think they've started editing that yet because it just keeps getting further down the list.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the embargo stuff, same with tech as well. So like if a new phone comes out, it's got all the reviews have to come out on a certain day. And if some news websites want to like refine their opinion on that new product, they'll take a bit longer as well. So it's the tech industry and the car industry are similar.
Very similar.
So,
I mean, you can always tell when an embargo gets lifted because you open up YouTube and literally it's just the same car all the way down the list. Everyone. Embargo time. Well done, everyone. Everyone's got the same car on their channel. Really good.
Yeah, it's great. It's quite funny. With EVs that are coming up, one of the EVs I'm really looking forward to trying out at some point, if I can, is the MG4. All the reviews I've watched of that car, everyone seems to be very, very intent on that's quite a good value.
I know my colleagues have all driven that and written that for the mag. I think I got it booked before Christmas, that one. Hold on a minute. Yeah, Nicola, MG4. That's in three weeks' time.
Lovely stuff.
I'm very much that as well, actually, because I think it looks gorgeous. And also, the press card that they released that was like bright orange. I love an orange
card. I know.
The styling of it, I think, is stunning. And I think MG are absolutely smashing it at the moment when it comes to affordable EVs, because they're so expensive. Electric cars are so expensive. I mean, you just look at the EX90 and you just suddenly go, oh my God, I'm spending 100 grand on a Volvo. This is insane. Whereas then you've got MG that are just smashing it and bringing out more and more and more affordable EVs. You know, you're seeing so many MG5s driving around as taxis and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to really getting my hands on that one, because I just think it looks lovely, and I think I already kind of know it's going to be really great to drive. So yeah,
I'm not entirely sure how they've done it. It's just, it looks, I think it's the same sort of size as an ID3 based on dimensions and things, but it's a bit taller. Yeah, I think it's to do with the styling of it, the plastic stuff underneath. But I don't know how they've made it over 10 grand cheaper. It's incredible. And from what I've seen, some of the materials are higher quality inside than ID3, which is quite massive switcheroo for everything.
It certainly makes you question other people's prices, doesn't it? You think, how the hell are they releasing this? How the hell are they doing the ZS EV for, you know, under 30 grand? I don't understand how they've done it. But actually, the quality of everything inside is all pretty decent. And then other brands just can't seem to be able to do the same. Well,
yeah, it's quite interesting. No matter what other people think of Chinese cars, they've definitely come a long way in the last probably 10 years, actually, because it's not that long ago since they bought the Rover brand, MG brand, sorry. And the early ones they made weren't amazing. So they've definitely come a long way.
The combustion engine cars. I remember I viewed a couple of them for what car and for auto car. The moment you sat in it, you went, oh, this isn't very good.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, they started doing their EVs, and you're like, oh, okay, this is kind of brilliant. So, everything's all sort of tweaked and changed, but it's like, I think it's their new design guy. Am I right in thinking it's the new design guy? They took him from BMW. I think that's right.
Maybe.
Yeah. Off the top of my head. I can't tell you off the top of my head.
Well, yeah, that's mad. That seems to be like, so the Korean car companies, they took the previous head of the M division, sorry, and used him to do the i30N. And then from what I remember rightly, the person who styled the Aura Cat came from Porsche. And then they've got someone from BMW to do this MG stuff. So it's just see if
you
take them.
You can see and you can see it.
Yeah.
Makes sense. My hair was reasonable earlier, and then I took the dogs out for a walk, and the hair was open, and my hair got, hence like the sort of messy high bun thing going on today.
Okay. Yeah. So over the past years, what's your favorite car you think you've reviewed or even owned as well in the time you've been doing car videos? So,
ooh, that's a tough question, because when it comes to my favorite car, I know that would be a car that I would probably never be able to afford, which was the Bentley Flying Spur. I love that car. I didn't want to give that car back. Tried to not give it back, but we just had the V8 version. We didn't have a W12; it was just a V8 version. But honestly, it was like driving a pillow. Is the only way I can explain. And we did long journeys in that thing, and it was just beautiful. The carpet in that was better than the carpet in my house, and I'm married to a carpet fitter. But it was, that's definitely up there for me, was the Flying Spur, definitely up there. And then, No, when the new Defender came out, I had the new Defender, the 110, and I fell in love with that as well. That was great. That was like a tank. That was about 2 years ago now that I had that, the Defender. Yeah, it's been a while. That was with Carbuyer, that one.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Defenders around. They seem to be very, very popular,
become like school run cars all of a sudden.
I know.
You realise what this car is capable of. You're literally just driving it to school and back, and you don't realise what this car is capable of. But okay, you do you. Yeah.
Yeah. I pull on alongside them in my little up. And I've got a VW up. And I just think, okay.
I love
that. You're massive.
Little cars.
Yeah, I managed to get the GTI version a few years ago. So, yeah, I bought it when it was... So they pulled it off sale for a year to do emissions or something. Mm. So I panicked because I really wanted one and searched around for one that was like 6 months old. And they bought it back on sale a year later for like extra $7,000 on top of the price, which was... Yeah.
And it's $7,000 and you think the size of that thing, you can probably... Yeah.
I know.
Years ago, you would have been able to buy the whole thing for $7,000 probably.
Yeah. Like the Dacia Sandero, that's $7,000 or $8,000, or used to be.
Not bad little cars, Sandero. Don't know what to say about Dacia. I think they're great.
Yeah. The one car they've got, hopefully it comes to this country, is the Spring.
Yes.
The Dacia Spring.
Yeah.
If that is going to be 10,000 euros or pounds, whatever, that's going to be immense.
It depends on it would be stupid for them not to bring it here. But for some reason, like when it comes to cars being released in the UK or like in Europe sometimes, you're a bit like, well, why not here? Like the GR Corolla isn't coming to the UK. Why?
Yeah.
Why? I would get one of those. That would sell so well in this country, the GR Corolla. But for some reason,
it would.
You know, I don't get it.
I know. The Prius isn't coming here, the new one either.
Why?
No.
That's all. Oh, it's mostly because... I think people are just buying SUVs.
That's what they said. Yeah, they said like it's going to come to most of Europe, but just us, we're not going to have it because I think they said that it's clear that the UK is buying SUVs, which is a bit sad.
Because the UK, with our large roads and our heavy rain, we like to buy SUVs and convertibles. Exactly what's wrong with our roads. Well, it just doesn't fit with our roads. Even my Sportage, it's not a massive SUV, but sometimes I'll go down a B road and I'm like, ooh.
I know. Yeah. We don't really need them here, really, but everyone seems to be buying them.
I stopped myself. I couldn't stop. Yeah, I think it was, I really quite liked the ride height, but it was the tech in the car for me because I love the EV6. It's basically the same tech.
Right, okay.
And I went, oh, because at the time I couldn't have an electric car because I didn't have charging and all this sort of stuff.
Yep.
So I was like, well, what's my next best option? And then I like the look of it. I like the shape of it. I liked how it drove. So I did it. It's gone really dark, hasn't it? So I turned my light
on. It has.
All of a sudden, it's really heavily raining. One sec.
That's better.
Yay! That's better.
Yeah, it's it seems to be. I didn't realize that they brought the tech from a high-end electric car to a normal like SUV, which is quite interesting.
It is a hybrid, so the environment, you know. Yeah,
it's they've done the same with the ID3 and the new Golf as well. I had one of those as a courtesy car the other day, and it's just like, oh, it's just the same. The same infotainment screen, as good as Bob, as bad as it is, but
yeah, as bad as it is, to say, unfortunately, such a shame, because the ID3 is such a cracking little car, and it's so lovely and brilliant to drive, and it's weirdly spacious, even though it looks quite small.
Yeah,
and then they put this infotainment system in that 9 times out of 10 is glitchy. And then those touchy slideys that don't even light up.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? You have a really nice, perfect car. And then it just, then they just ruined it.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it's more of a safety thing than anything else.
Yeah.
It's weird. I was just trying to do one simple thing. I can't remember exactly what. Oh, turn the heating on, I think. I just like,
Yeah, trying to make the car warm.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
And even the lights as well. So if like it's muscle memory, every car has that little knob thing like that you can reach. It's just a touchpad that's next to the mirror.
Yeah.
Controls. It's weird. Very weird.
Yeah. The whole setup is such a shame. I hope that they listen and tweak it, but I can't really see that happening. Maybe
it might do. It might do. So I was watching a review from Johnny Smith about the Cupra Born.
Mm.
And he was mentioning, I don't know where he got the information from, that the person who came up with that idea has been fired now from VW. So
really?
Yeah. I'm not sure how he found that out, but
I was going to say, that's me. I didn't know that.
Yeah, which is a bit odd, because surely it's not down to one person who thought of that. It's an entire company decision, that especially the scale that VW is. So
yeah, but someone
be interesting.
Someone's got to be the face of it all. So if you get that one person that was right at the beginning, that probably had nothing to do with anything else. If you get rid of that one person, then it looks like we've solved the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, very strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're mentioning with a charging network. So you're in a very similar area to where Andrew I spoke to on Tuesdays from. He's from Kent, so Sussex is sort of that same. He was mentioning that the charging network where in that area isn't great either.
Yeah.
He was saying that even the motorways, which you'd expect there to be good chargers, there isn't many at all, which is very strange. It's not like there's any, yeah.
It's really bad where I am. And the thing is like I'll drive into London, and you just see you see these big awesome EV charging stations, and you're like, wow, this is really awesome. That's so great. Or like I'll stop at even the services on the M25 aren't horrendous. So like services isn't so bad. You've got Ionity and you've got GridServe there, and they, I'd say 90% of the time they work. But down here, the moment you step into Sussex, I don't understand it. So I've got my local one is a local Shell recharge, right? Never works. Every time I've gone there, it's broken. Every time. So I'm like, great, where else can I go? And then my next option is another service station, which is down the M23, which is called Pease Pottage Service Station. They have two, I think they're currently building more though, to be fair. Two GridServe chargers, which claim to do 50 kilowatts. One of them normally doesn't work, and the other one charges at 22 kilowatts, which means that you're sat there and then you're normally stuck in a queue because there's other people there. But I did see, last time I was there, you could see that they were doing some building works along the same sort of line where the charging points are. So I'm assuming that they're building more. But I mean,
yeah,
build more, go for it. But they've got to bloody work.
Yeah.
If they don't work, what's the point? Like they recharge. I was like, great, amazing. Shell recharge, great. They normally charge at 50 kilowatts. That's great. Just never. I've never seen it work ever.
Is that a normal petrol station, that one?
Yeah.
There's supposed to be one
station, Sid, please. We don't have any of that here. We'll be lucky.
There's supposed to, I think I haven't seen it in person. There's supposed to be a normal, I can't exactly remember what it is. There's one petrol station that was Shell in London somewhere that got ripped up and replaced, and it became an EV station, like the GridServe electric forecourts.
Yeah.
Very similar idea.
There's also one I think it's up sort of Birmingham way. There's like a big services where it's just EV charging, and it looks
all right. That's not very far from me, so I have to have a look. Go and have a look, but yeah,
I've got to try and find. Oh, as soon as I find the location, I'll send it to you.
Okay,
I'm sure it was up that way. I might be completely wrong. I'm sure it was up Birmingham way, judging by what I've heard, because I've never experienced it because it's too far away from me. But yeah, down here we just three.
Yeah, it's the.
And if you're lucky. Yeah, really hot plug.
Yeah, they got the GridServe electric forecourts as well.
So
I think there's three of those. There's one in Braintree, one in Norwich, and then one in Heathrow coming soon, apparently.
Oh.
Those are such a good idea. Those are brilliant. For just someone who's new to EVs as well, you just rock up and then test drive cars without any hassle from salespeople, and then you can try out EVs and charge up. So.
Yeah.
It's a very good idea. I'm hoping there'd be more of those.
It's the charging that gives people the anxiety.
The worry.
really, because the cars themselves are fantastic. Electric cars are brilliant. There are so many out there that are just so, so good. But if you're in an area, or if you're stuck without home charging, or, you know, if you're a woman on her own and the only place to charge is this really dark place in the middle of nowhere where there's one charge point and you don't want to do it by yourself, do you know what I mean? You end up in a
place,
well, I don't want to choose to go electric because of that. So,
there's a lot of good cars. So I've tried a few of them. The favorite one I've tried so far is the Honda E, but it's just a shame that the range isn't so good.
That's what you want very far. But it's a great car.
Yeah. Yes, lovely. If we're on about the lack of buttons in cars and all the screens and stuff, that's a really good middle point between button overload and then screens, because it's got heating controls.
Yeah, it does.
And that's really important. It's got an actual knob for the volume. It's got buttons for different things. And it's it's such a good idea.
Virtual fish tank.
Yeah.
Of course. Every car needs a virtual fish tank.
Yeah. It's a shame. I've only seen two, I think. And it must be the same two cars I've seen around with me.
It's just one and you're just seeing it on a loop.
Yeah. It's just a shame that no one's bought them. Well, not many people have bought them because they look so cool.
Brand.
They are, yeah. But yeah, need more of them.
For these cute little retro but futuristic cars that won't get you very far, which is such a shame. Otherwise, it would sell really well. If it travelled further, they would sell really well, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With electric cars, have you heard of Onto as well?
Onto?
Yeah. So I've seen quite a few creators as well. Sorry, a few electric car reviewers on YouTube. They've been touting this subscription service for cars called Onto, and it's basically like a way to lease cars or rent them, but with no deposit. So I think Onto have been sponsoring people at the moment, because I've seen three or four different people have a Fiat 500e. talk about Onto, and it's, I think it's like £400 a month, and you can. It's got breakdown. It's got the charging for free as well. You get cards for different charging networks for free as well, including that price.
That's pretty good.
It's quite interesting, yeah. I'm not sure if the future of EVs is people owning cars, or if that's what people want to avoid, or they just want to rent them.
Yeah, I don't own cars.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never heard of that, but then that might be a creator ad jobby of people just being sponsored and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it might be. But it's definitely... They'll deliver it to you as well, which is mad. So you don't have to go anywhere.
Do you only ever get a 500e? That's all you got. A 500e.
That's the cheapest one they do, but there's loads. There's like Teslas and Vauxhall Mokka as well. So if people don't want to own them and have all the bits and pieces included in the price, it's quite a good idea.
Well, I've learned something today. This has been educational.
Yeah.
So you've got your VW up for you. What's your dream car?
My dream car.
Affordable.
Yeah, affordable.
So an actual one that you could actually potentially get one day. So you're so not going to go, oh, I want a Lamborghini Aventador or something.
Yeah. No. Yeah. The one I've been looking at is the MG4. That's really cool.
Yeah.
But one that I really love is the it's not electric, but it's a Skoda Octavia VRS Estate.
But the
new one though.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I've had a look at one of them before. It's very, very nice.
We had we filmed with one recently, but we didn't have the estate. We just had the normal saloon, and our VRS was a diesel, which was weird.
Weird.
Yeah, but it was blooming powerful. It was bloody powerful. While we were filming with it, actually, there was a load of police that went past and stopped to come and have a little chat with us. And they have loads of them on their fleet. They've got loads of VRSs on their fleet because they love them because they're such powerhouses, but they look like normal day-to-day cars.
Yes, yeah.
So, like, you don't underestimate.
No.
An Octavia VRS, do not underestimate them. They're brilliant, brilliant cars.
Yeah. Yeah, there seems to be quite a few diesel performance cars. You've got the, I think the Ford Focus ST was diesel at one point, or has been, or still is. And then there's also the...
Not anymore, it's
not
not
anymore.
No.
And then the Mini Cooper as well, the Mini Cooper SD, they used to do a sport one of them, so...
Yeah. That's what, but I couldn't get one, because I used to have a Mini Cooper D. I loved my Mini Cooper. That was one of my favourite cars. I named her Maggie. Wonderful.
Yeah. That's actually...
Cars that you've had. Now we're talking about cars. Take me through all the cars that you've had.
Well, I've only owned two.
Okay.
My first car was just a bog standard VW up, and then I got the GTR. That's it.
Okay, so you've had then another up.
Yeah. Well, I saw it in all the magazines when it came out. Everyone was tested it in South Africa, I think it was, in the initial like prototype version. I just thought I had to have that.
Well, then it was nothing but praise. I even remember when James May reviewed it on Top Gear, and he was like,
Grand Tour,
yeah. And you're like, oh yeah. My god, they sell so well.
Yeah, that's mad. It's yeah. Just a shame it's so expensive now.
I know.
It wasn't expensive to start with.
Yeah, they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be, because they're so diddy, but they are. Yeah, cracking little cars. They really are.
It's not very comfortable. So compared to like a normal Golf or anything, it's the same bumps I go over. It's like, oh, that's not a massive bump, really. But it's fine.
That's pretty standard in every car that size, really.
Yeah.
You know, you'll feel the same in a Fiat 500. You'll feel the same in any sort of city car kind of size,
yeah.
Even like Skoda Citigo, they're all the same.
Yeah.
But in terms of sort of like the quality and what they're like to drive, I think the up for me is up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned Mini as well. So I've over the last few months, I run a electric car podcast with my friend James, and I've had a number of cars on test drives, and we talk about them on the podcast and stuff. So I've had a Mini Cooper Electric that was, compared to the Honda E, that they were similar sort of range, but I preferred the Honda out of the two. But the Mini was quite cool.
They're not bad. I wish they would go further, because I feel like at least with the Honda E, it has a little bit more character to it. And I think that's what makes people love the, if you were to compare the two, people would love the Honda E because it's got that little bit more character and it's a bit quirky and all that sort of stuff. Whereas the Mini can do, yeah, same amount of miles, but I guess it's just in a nice Mini package.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're nice to drive. There's a nice bit of oomph behind them.
Yeah. But it's a Cooper S by the default model. So it's definitely quite fast. And it feels on like back roads and stuff, it feels sporty as well. You can feel the weight under you, so you can feel that it's heavier as it moves around and stuff. But it's a great car. The next one we're looking at in probably December, I think, is probably they're going to be the MG4. I'll probably try and get that one because that's such an interesting car. So
yeah, if you can get your hands on one, I think you'll absolutely love it. I'm really looking forward to having mine for a week.
Yeah.
Take it to Storm, my usual thing.
Yeah, it's good that you sort of do the same thing with each car, like if you do, like, because you sort of can see how it can, like, rather than just trying it in a different place each time. It's quite good that
so it's for me, I mean I you know, when it comes to reviewing a car, it would be silly if I don't just use them as my normal car.
Yeah,
because people want to know,
yeah,
can I live with this car as my day-to-day car? So it just makes sense, you know. I don't have children, but you know, I'm a normal, you know, mid-30s woman. What would I normally do with a car? I'd probably take it shopping, I'd probably chuck the dogs in the back, I'll maybe drive on the motorway, take it to wherever, take it on some B roads, throw it around some corners, see how it feels. And then the thing is the more you drive, the more you feel it instantly. And I can't even tell you the amount of cars I've driven. A lot.
Yeah.
But now I can do a full blown, like the moment I sit in a car and I go, oh, well, this is different. Like, da, 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 da. And it all just came with just driving so many cars and doing the same thing, so many different cars.
Yeah, you know which bits to look for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you instantly feel the difference between each car or something. Yeah. if something's similar to another car. So like a Cupra Born is basically an ID3 under a different fancy logo. Bit fun, bit more fun to drive though, rear wheel drive. Bit more fun to drive, Cupra Born.
Yeah.
Very heavy.
Is it?
Hmm. You can feel the weight in a Cupra Born. But because the rear wheel drive thing, the moment you whip it around a corner, you go, oh my God.
Oh, really?
The back completely comes out. You're like, wow. Yeah, a bit more fun than an ID3.
Wow. Yeah.
A bit more stylish.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it looks a bit more, looks less friendly, I think. Like it looks a bit more angry. Yeah.
that's a good way to describe it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
It's really down here. I don't know what it's like with you, but it is. Hammering it right now.
It was earlier. I'm surprised I couldn't hear it where I was earlier, but yeah, it's stopped now, thankfully.
I mean, so this is normally the time of year where I would end up being given a convertible for the week or something. So a couple of weeks, last week when I had the Caterham, it was this heavy rain the whole time.
Oh,
apart from the day that we filmed with it. We was really lucky.
There you go.
Like the Caterham arrived and I went, oh, this is the worst week to have a Caterham. Yeah. Are you kidding me? This is the worst week. And like having to keep the roof on the whole time. And I don't know if you've ever tried to get into a Caterham, but trying to do it with the roof off is hard enough. And then when you've got a roof over the top, I mean, you become a gymnast trying to get into that thing. With the heavy rain, you've got these tiny little windscreen wipers.
Yeah.
I literally just, that's it. That's all you've got. Small little windscreen wipers. These tiny little headlights. It was probably the most terrifying drive I've ever done. It was just coming back from Tesco's in the Caterham in the rain and dark. My God.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's always this time of year that we get given a convertible for some reason.
Hmm.
I remember last year, the year before, I had a Z4. I was like, of course I've got a Z4 in December. Really good. Really good. Well done, everyone.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, no one's going to be looking to, well, maybe, I don't know, no one's going to be looking to buy one of them in winter. More springtime is a bit strange, but yeah.
But fun fact, don't know if you know this, but the UK is actually the country that buys the most convertibles in Europe. Because I guess we're just so optimistic. Maybe it's that. Even though it rains the majority of the time, even if it's freezing cold and the sun's out, the roof is going down and I'm putting the heating on my feet. It's optimism. We're very focused, we us Brits.
Yeah. I didn't know that. So yeah, I've learned something as well.
There you go.
Yeah, very weird. Yeah.
Yeah, we're a bunch of weirdos.
I think that's all I've got, if that's okay.
Lovely. Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Cool.
That's fine with me.
I'm just going to do the the outro section.
Are you like, give me my dinner? It's too early, mate. It's too early. I've got two sausage dogs, by the way. That's what they are. They're two sausage.
They sound bigger than that.
No. Although, to be fair, Larry is pretty big. Like, he's a big sausage. He's like a massive 14-kilo standard sausage. And then Rodney's a bit smaller. Yeah.
Cool. I'll just do the outro a bit, if that's okay. So, cool. Yeah. Thank you, Nicola, for joining me on the Creator Spotlight. It's been really cool to talk to you, learning more about the behind-the-scenes of YouTube production for car videos. So, if people want to get in touch with you, where can they find you on social media and the internet?
I am at Nicola_Hume on Instagram and Twitter. I can't remember what I am on TikTok. I don't really post on TikTok. I try, but I'm not very good at it because I get a bit watching people dance. I can't do it. But I think it's Nicola_Hume1 or something on TikTok.
Okay.
But, you know. And then on YouTube, Auto Express, subscribe to the channel. Thank you very much.
Yep, we'll put the links down below. If you want to find more information about the interface and the Creator Spotlight, you can go to theinterface.uk. We've also got creatorspotpod.uk as well for the podcast directly. And then we're on Twitter at the_interface_, which is a massive mouthful, but here we are.
5 times really fast.
Yeah.
The underscore.
Cool. Thank you for joining me once again. And see you again in the next episode. Thank you.